When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Living Dead, the case of Clavius Narcissus, a zombie by law. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a place where the veil between life and death is said to be unusually thin. A land where ancient traditions intertwine with a brutal history to forge a unique and terrifying mythology. We are going to Haiti, a nation steeped in the rich, complex tapestry of voodoo, a spiritual practice often misunderstood, yet profoundly impactful on daily life. Here, the concept of the living dead, the zombie, is not merely a Hollywood fantasy, but a chilling reality, so potent that it is enshrined in the very fabric of its legal code. Our story focuses on a man who became perhaps the most famous alleged real-life zombie, Clavius Narcissus. Born in 1922 in a rural region of Haiti, Clavius Narcissus lived a life of hard work, typical for his community. He was a farmer, connected to the land and the rhythms of his village. His life, however, took a turn into the utterly inexplicable in 1962. At the age of 40, Clavius fell severely ill. His symptoms were alarming: a high fever, extreme fatigue, body aches, and he began coughing up blood. He was rushed to the Schweitzer Hospital in Deschapelles, a medical facility operated by American doctors. Despite the medical team's efforts, Clavius's condition rapidly deteriorated. He slipped into a comatose state. His breathing became shallow, his pulse barely discernible. After a thorough examination, two American doctors pronounced him dead. His death was officially certified, and his body was placed in cold storage for a day before being released to his family for burial. Clavius Narcissus was mourned, his funeral conducted with traditional Haitian rites, and he was laid to rest in a simple earthly grave in his village. To his family, he was gone, a life tragically cut short. The story of Clavius Narcissus should have ended there, a sad footnote in the medical records of 1962, but it did not. A staggering 18 years later, in 1980, a man walked into a marketplace in Lester, a bustling town, and approached a woman, insisting she was his sister, Angelina Narcissus. The woman was understandably bewildered, then terrified. This man, claiming to be Clavius Narcissus, her brother, had been dead for nearly 2 decades. Yet, there was something about him. He knew intimate family details, childhood nicknames, shared memories that only the true Clavius could possess. His sister, Angelina, and other villagers, after their initial shock, began to recognize him. The confirmation from his family was undeniable. The man before them was indeed Clavius Narcissus, resurrected from the dead. But his story was far more horrifying than any supernatural tale. Clavius recounted an ordeal that defied belief, yet resonated deeply with the darkest fears of Haitian folklore. He claimed that he had not truly died in 1962. Instead, he had been deliberately poisoned by a Bokor, a voodoo sorcerer, allegedly at the behest of his own brother, with whom he had a dispute over land and inheritance. This poison, Narcissus claimed, had plunged him into a state of deep paralysis, mimicking death. He had been fully conscious, but utterly immobile, a silent, terrifying witness to his own death pronouncement, his preparation for burial, and the chilling finality of the earth being piled upon his coffin, he experienced the terrifying claustrophobia of the grave for a period, perhaps days, before his shallow burial was interrupted. According to his harrowing account, the Bokor returned to his grave under the cover of night. He was exhumed, pulled from the earth, still in that terrifying state of paralysis. Then he was revived, not to a new life, but to a new, horrifying existence, that of a zombie. He was allegedly forced to consume a paste, a zombie's cucumber, as it was sometimes called, which robbed him of his will, his memory, and his identity, rendering him a mindless slave. He was then forced to work alongside other similarly zombified individuals on a remote sugar plantation in northern Haiti, toiling under the brutal sun, devoid of free will, for 16 long lost years. His ordeal as a slave finally ended, Narcis claimed, only when the Bokor who had enslaved him died. With the sorcerer's death, the regular administering of the mind-numbing drugs or rituals ceased, and the spell or the effects of the poison began to wear off. His will slowly returned, his memories flickered back. He escaped the plantation, wandering until he heard that his brother, the alleged instigator of his zombification, had also passed away. Only then did he feel it was safe to return to his village, to reclaim his life and his identity. Clervius Narcissus' story fascinated and bewildered the world. It captivated researchers, leading to some of the most famous scientific investigations into the phenomenon of zombification. Most notably, Dr. Lamarck Douillon, a Haitian psychiatrist, had long been studying claims of zombies, convinced there was a pharmacological basis to the folklore. Douillon's work caught the attention of Wade Davis, a Harvard ethnobotanist. Davis traveled to Haiti, determined to find the truth behind the zombie phenomenon. He spent years immersing himself in Haitian culture, gaining the trust of voodoo practitioners and, crucially, obtaining samples of the purported zombie powder used by Bokors. Davis's groundbreaking research, though controversial and debated by the scientific community, proposed a compelling hypothesis. He concluded that the zombie powder contained a potent neurotoxin, tetrodotoxin, TTX, found in pufferfish, the same deadly toxin found in Japanese fugu, combined with other ingredients, including bufotoxin from toads, and psychotropic compounds like those from Datura stramonium, Jimson weed. The theory was that a sublethal dose of TTX applied to abraded skin could induce a state of profound paralysis so convincing that doctors, even American ones, would declare the victim dead. The victim would then be buried alive, fully conscious, but utterly helpless. Once exhumed, the subsequent administration of Datura would induce a psychotic state, erasing memory and will, creating the compliant, mindless drone known as a zombie. While some analytical chemists later struggled to find sufficient levels of TTX in Davis's samples to support his hypothesis, the theory offered a chillingly plausible explanation for an ancient, terrifying belief. The case of Clervius Narcissa and the subsequent investigations into zombification had a profound impact beyond scientific debate. It brought the concept of the zombie not as a ravenous monster, but as a victim of a cruel, deliberate act into mainstream discourse. It forced a renewed examination of Haitian folklore, recognizing it not as mere superstition, but as a complex socio-religious system with very real consequences. Crucially, this case also shed light on a remarkable aspect of Haitian law. Long before Clervius Narcissus reappeared, Haitian legal code already contained provisions addressing the very act of zombification. Article 246 of the Haitian Penal Code, which dates back to 1864, explicitly condemns the use that may be made against a person of substances which, without causing death, produce a prolonged lethargic effect. Furthermore, it stipulates that if, following the state of lethargy, the person is buried, then the attempt will be termed murder. This remarkable piece of legislation demonstrates that the Haitian state, even in the 19th century, acknowledged the existence of such practices, recognizing the use of potent poisons to mimic death and subsequent burial as a grave criminal offense. This effectively makes it illegal to create a zombie in Haiti, underscoring the deep cultural understanding and fear surrounding this phenomenon. What then can we conclude from the incredible, terrifying story of Clavius Narcisse? Was he a true victim of a sophisticated poisoning that mimicked death, followed by a period of forced servitude and psychological manipulation? Or was his return and the widespread belief in his zombification a powerful manifestation of collective fear and a deep-seated cultural understanding of social control through the weaponization of folklore? The idea of losing one's will, of being alive but utterly enslaved, was a potent metaphor for the brutal reality of slavery in Haiti's past, a fear that found horrifying expression in the concept of the zombie. The case of Clavius Narcisse stands as a unique testament to the potent intersection of belief, biology, and the human will. It forces us to confront the chilling possibility that sometimes the line between life and death is not as absolute as we believe, and that hidden within the ancient wisdom of indigenous cultures, there might be secrets far darker and more unsettling than any horror movie could conceive. In Haiti, the dead sometimes walk, not in search of brains, but because they are enslaved. And the very law of the land acknowledges that the most terrifying of all fates is to be turned into a zombie. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.